Focus.
Hello there, team. It's Troy Stockton aboard. Yes, here we go with another Rural Focus podcast for you. On the way soon, Nutrient Livestock's very own Bob Pumphrey telling you about last Thursday's Mount Barker cattle sale. How did things go there? Speaking of sales, of course, big day last Friday in Narrogin with the Long Wool Day. The beginning of ram sales right across regional WA. There are plenty of ram sales if you're out and about. Do take care. We'll catch up with Corrigan farmer Stephen Bolt and speak about that. And also, too, there are still to come around regional WA plenty of foot and mouth disease information sessions. There'll be one coming to a town near you around WA, and I can tell you that there's going to be one tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday, the 9th of August, out at Williams, of course, around the Great Southern. We're going to catch up with one of the keynote speakers. Dr. Elizabeth Jackson is going to join us. Dr. Elizabeth is a board member with Sheep Producers Australia. She will speak about the update for foot and mouth disease and also to the UK experience, of course, a big one that did break out early in the 2000s. So all that and more coming up on today's podcast. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's say hello to Stu McKenzie.
Good morning, Troy. Good morning, listeners. How are we all today?
Not bad. Now, of course, we last caught up with you last week at the Victorian Fruit Growers Conference. How did all that end up, mate?
Yeah, what a fantastic event. 220 people attended. There was about 140 industry, and then the rest were all attending growers. So, and look, everything from automation in processing to, you know, pack house setups, and everything from different harvest times. So being able to harvest fruit and veg early to then put it in hibernation to ripen it when it's required for market. I thought that was some pretty interesting interesting technology and pretty interesting speak. And then other than that, it was the fertilizer, the new fertilizers that are coming out, the new chemistry that's coming out in insecticide, herbicide, fungicide, and then in and around management and staffing as well. So, and good to see, and it's sad to see that the fruit growers in the food bowl over there are having the same issues that we're having here in regional WA regarding staffing and cost of staffing. You know, I was talking to one guy over there. He's got 14 orchards, about 900 hectare, and he was saying to keep his staff, he is paying 15% above the award, and they're basically doing whatever they want to keep them.
Yeah,
which is, you know, that in itself is just phenomenal. So, but to attract good staff, you know, they end up with kind of one person looking up to upwards of between 80 and 120 acres of orchard. So, you know, that in itself is a pretty massive task considering everything's under tree or vine. So certainly an experience. Wouldn't mind going back again, and I might get that opportunity, which will be fantastic. But
yep,
look, at the end of the day, staffing issues are the same whether you're in the east or the west. So that is, I guess, at least there's some consistency.
Well, mate, wasn't, again, another great weekend on WA roads.
Yeah, another two finals, one on Friday night, one on Saturday night, Saturday night and Sunday night here in Albany Town, one up on Albany Highway near Millbrook, which was another of four, and a massive part of two very big sporting bodies here in Albany, so condolences to the families there. And then another one last night out on South Coast Highway. So
Okay. Whether
it's time of day or traffic or road conditions, the road conditions have been bloody terrible, to be fair. But at the end of the day, we just need to take it easy on our roads, drive to the conditions, and, you know, certainly to the people who have lost loved ones, our condolences and sympathies go out to you. But please, 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 ladies and gentlemen, drive safe on our roads. If you're tired, pull over or don't drive at all. If you need to pull over because the rain's too hard, please do that. You know, we just need to slow down and drive to the conditions, please, because five or six deaths on the weekend across WA, which would have to be one of the largest weekends for a while. Please, ladies and gents, just take it easy.
Yeah, absolutely. So, do take care if you're out and about on the roads, which you should be doing really anyway. Mate, the start of the field days get underway this Friday.
Mate, Millie, who would have thought?
The
Macintosh & Son Millie Midwest Expo. It has now gone from a two-day fair to a one-day fair. It's good to see that it's still going ahead. They've rejigged it. It's a new format. So he's hoping that it is still the success it needs to be, all being from 2 days down to one day now. So, and then obviously from there we go to Darren, and then the road show starts. So Darren, Newdigate, and then we go into our regional shows. So we're already halfway through, or a quarter of the way through into
August. So, and then,
well and truly on the way.
Yeah, get the field days done and dusted, and then harvest begins.
So once we get, into harvest, it's a very quick pull to the end of the year. So
Yes.
Please, ladies and gents, just take it easy for the next couple of months because it's going to be a very busy couple of months as we move forward.
All right. Well, mate, you take care this week and we'll chat to you again soon.
Thanks, listeners. Thanks, Troy. Have a great week and please stay safe.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Time right now to catch up with Corrigin farmer, Stephen Bolt. Morning, mate.
Yeah, morning, Troy. Morning, everyone.
Mate, you were part of many that were in Narrogin Friday at the Long Wool Day. How did it all end up, mate?
Oh, look, yeah, really positive day. It's, I suppose the starting point for the Merino ram selling season. So, yeah, it was really catching up again. A lot of quality sheep and a really positive crowd there having a look through.
Did you buy or sell any, mate?
There was a couple sales on the day, but I certainly wasn't selling or buying at this stage, but always looking. So no, there's plenty of good sheep on display.
Yeah, I was going to say, being the first ram sale of a new season, mate, how were the rams looking?
Yeah, good. Yep. I suppose there's a few of the top end that have been across to Bendigo and made the trip back. So some of those sheep are still, just in a little bit of recovery at the moment after their long trip across and back. You know, the sheep and the depth of the WA sheep there looked fantastic on Friday.
Mate, Perth Royal Show, well, they've come out saying that it will be the show as per normal. Was there any talk on Friday from sheep farmers there or ram studs that will be or won't be going to the Royal Show with what's going on with foot and mouth disease around at the moment?
Yeah, look, there wasn't any discussion really around the foot and mouth. I think that most growers that, breeders that show at Perth Royal, they'll, be keen to get along and support the show and, I suppose a great opportunity once again for us to show agriculture to the people in the cities, the people that gives them an opportunity to make that connection with agriculture and what we do out here in the region. So for us, it's really important to attend.
Yep.
Obviously, there's going to be a few protocol changes down there just around public not having full access to the sheep. So there will be some changes, a little bit more awareness, which is always a good thing. But, I don't think that there'll be too much reluctance from growers to go down and attend the Perth Royal Show this year.
Is there enough awareness out there that you're hearing, mate, or could there still be a lot more to be done?
Look, I think, definitely in some of the media, the messaging hasn't been actually really clear about how well we are prepared as an industry. So I think, quite a bit of, I suppose, fear has been out there from, from the industry, from commercial growers, because we haven't messaged how well prepared we are for, the event of a foot and mouth outbreak or any other disease for that matter. So, I've been involved, back in more than 10 years ago that preparation started for this work. So I think industry is well placed. We just haven't conveyed, how well we are prepared. There's always areas to improve and further discussions always to be had, but it's definitely something that industry behind the scenes has been really aware of the risk and making sure preparations are in place.
How's the preparations on your farm, mate? Have you tightened up your biosecurity or?
Look, it's something that, I think all of us are always aware of making sure our biosecurity, so giving people only access to, a small part of your farm, generally just to one central point. And then, if you choose to take them out over your farm, you do it in your own vehicle. But I think you'll see an increase in foot baths, maybe start to, a few people might have them around this season. But, risk has always been there for us, I think, particularly foot mouth is, in many other countries like your South Africa, India, China, Middle Eastern countries. So it's not a new risk for us, but I think there's heightened awareness just because of the proximity where Indonesia, Bali in particular, the amount of people travelling are to Western Australia.
All right. So we are chatting with Stephen Bolt, Corrigin farmer, Stephen Bolt. And, mate, just quickly before you do go, of course, did come out last week. You're still demanding an inquiry due to these bushfires that happened back in February. What are you hearing?
Yeah, look, I think as a community, we are certainly looking for an independent inquiry into the fire that came through the Corrigan area. I think to this stage, yeah, there's discussion about a combined after-action review of all four of the major incidents that happened in the Wheatbelt. But I think circumstances around this fire, we certainly feel that an independent inquiry is warranted. And, yeah, I just don't think that state government cannot actually look at this and make sure it is assessed and changes made if required. But we can't talk about making any changes to the process.
Yep.
Until we actually have a review and work out what did or didn't go wrong in leading to this fire.
Why do they keep putting it back, mate? Don't they want to answer all these questions, or was it just the state government being the state government?
Look, there's, you know, I suppose that's for them to answer, but certainly for us, people that are involved and affected by the fire who were involved on the day of, you know, making sure that everyone made it out safely. We've had no contact. We've had, you know, no opportunity to ask questions around, you know, even just the running of the day with DFS in control. So, you know, there's been quite a few areas that where we feel, you know, haven't been addressed, and we're certainly keen to see a review process so we can have discussions around those concerns and see if any changes, which, you know, we'll certainly be demanding some changes be made to the permit system.
Have you heard when there may be a start to maybe an investigation or anything else, mate?
Look, I think there's certainly recently was discussion around a, you know, after-action review going ahead.
Yep.
But, yeah, certainly there's been no, there's been nothing come back to us as a local government area of Corrigan around this review. So, you know, it's pretty disappointing that such a major incident happened and there's a lack of willingness from what we can see to actually address the problems here.
How's the town going, mate?
Look, it's, you know, season's been really kind to us. So, you know, all the affected farmland looks fantastic because we have been fortunate with such a great season to date. But, you know, the workload for affected farmers and for the community, because the volunteers, even the people that weren't directly affected, you know, they've done so much volunteering, whether it's a lot of the women through the community where they've been catering, assisting, or whether it's guys that have donated time helping fencing, cleaning up. It's been a huge effort by everyone in the community, and it does take its toll, but there's so much more work, you know, particularly on affected farms where recovery is going to take, you know, years and years to get things back in place for sure.
Well, thanks for coming on, mate. Just quickly before you go, I know ram sales are happening across regional WA, left, right and centre. Will you be out and about very soon, mate?
Yeah, look, the ram sales will be kicking off, you know, pretty soon. So Katanning ram sale, we'll head off the season later next week, so be looking forward to seeing a good crowd down there. But yeah, there'll be definitely some quality merinos around on offer around the state this year. So yeah, encourage everyone to get out there and have a look and yeah, support the industry.
Stephen Bolt, farmer from Corrigan, mate, as always, nice to have you on Rural Focus.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Well, all this week around regional WA, there are plenty of foot-and-mouth briefings. Of course, there's one in Williams tomorrow and one in Kojanup on Wednesday. And Dr. Elizabeth Jackson will be there. Dr. Elizabeth Jackson is a board member of Sheep Producers Australia and also is a senior lecturer, supply chain management there at Curtin University. And, well, she joins us this morning. Dr. Elizabeth, good morning there to you.
Good morning, Troy.
How are you?
Well, thank you. Yeah, really well today. Glad for this rain that we're getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've done a few of these foot and mouth disease information talks. You've got one, of course, tomorrow in Williams, as we mentioned, and then heading to Kojanup on Wednesday. What information will you be chatting about at the information sessions?
Yes, yeah, so, Troy, I'll be presenting analysis from Thomas Elder Market.
Okay.
on a number of issues. So I'll start off by talking about our vulnerability to foot and mouth disease now that it's in Bali. And I'll also be talking about our reliance on export markets and our current foot and mouth disease free status. That's so important, but it's this dependence on export markets that makes us so vulnerable to losses if we do actually have an incursion of foot and mouth disease in this country. I'll also be talking about experiences of foot and mouth disease in the various outbreaks in the UK. There was the really, really big one was in 2001. They had another smaller one which was contained far more quickly in 2007. But there were also outbreaks before that in the 50s and 60s and 70s, I believe. And it's been really interesting that a number of people in the audiences that I've been presenting at either were in the UK at that time or have relatives in the UK at that time, and they do share some quite unnerving experiences. But I'll also be talking about the importance of how Australia and our farming systems are different to those in the UK, and indeed the livestock production systems in places like Indonesia. Okay. And hopefully these systems and also our immigration rules that will keep us safe.
Yep.
And it's something that's really important that that has improved from what happened in the UK and the UK experience is our traceability technology. So that's something that that is very, very, very important to the confinement or containment,
yeah,
I should say. So these are some. This is a little bit of an overview of the stuff that I'll be talking about. Really giving evidence based, views on these topics.
As I said, I did speak with Stephen Bolt in the last hour. He's sort of come out and said, "Well, as an organisation, as the ag industry, are they prepared enough for what just might happen?"
Yeah, look, given the interactions I've had with DPIRD and our National Department of Agriculture, I think we are extremely prepared.
Okay.
The thing is that, we have been, foot and mouth disease, and this is some evidence of this I'll show in my presentations over the next couple of days. Foot and mouth disease has been in countries for many, many, many years, and we have been on alert for foot and mouth disease for a long time. I've travelled extensively throughout the world, and I've never been to a country where there are bins to dispose of your food product at the baggage claim halls. So we have got an extremely sophisticated system, and a system that it's really interesting that until there is an outbreak, we won't see how powerful it is.
Yeah.
There are so many, there are thousands of people, very, very, very qualified people in veterinary epidemiology and biosecurity who have got plans, who've got very, very, very secure plans in place if there is an incursion. So just because they're not, they're not sort of in our faces day in, day out, it doesn't mean that they're not there. We've kept out African swine fever, which is as catastrophic to the pig industry as foot and mouth disease is to other species. So we've done very, very, very well. And I don't want the system to be tested, but I am very confident that that there is a system in there in place that will respond very, very, very quickly. So we don't end up in the situation the UK was in 2001.
The biggest two, traceability and biosecurity?
Yes.
Mouth disease? Yep.
Yes. So traceability is quite a contentious issue at present in the sheep and goat industry.
Yep.
But it has been in the cattle industry for several years now and is in the pig industry. So, if we do get incursions, then at least the cattle and pig industries will have technology at their fingertips to be able to do something about it quickly and be able to track and trace animals through the supply chain to make sure that it's those animals that are confined and contained as quickly as possible, and indeed the people who are possible carriers, through their vehicles or through their clothes or through their breath are alerted to what they could possibly be doing.
Do you think both the federal and state governments, are they doing enough?
Yeah, in terms of our biosecurity, absolutely. Okay. I think what we have seen occur in terms of our airports and the immigration rules that we've seen. I think our Department of Agriculture, I should say, has been really good, and so has private enterprise, because what this is about education, and this is about, you know, gathering information and fact finding from the people who know this business. Okay. And again, unfortunately, it's the people in veterinary epidemiology, so the people who are responsible for public health and disease that spreads through livestock populations, we don't hear from them very often, but they are there. And they are working behind the scenes absolutely frantically to make sure that if there is an incursion, and must remember, Australia is at present a foot and mouth disease free country. So if there is an incursion, you know, everything will be done. All the buttons will be pushed and all the levers will be pulled to make sure that those outbreaks are contained at lightning speed.
And I know from the boys at Tomasello Markets, they sort of say, going by their graphs and everything else, that maybe the worst may be over for foot and mouth disease there in Indonesia. Will that be brought up in these information sessions?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I've got some pretty powerful graphs to show to show people who attend that the data that's the disease data that's coming out of Indonesia's Department of Agriculture or Ministry of Agriculture, it looks like that peak foot and mouth disease has been reached. People would have heard the concept of peak COVID, particularly in Western Australia over the past couple of weeks. So peak foot and mouth disease Indonesia has reached peak foot and mouth disease, and so it is on the downhill trajectory. However, it is very, very important to make sure that we not only listen to Thomas Elder Markets because they're fabulous, but we also listen to any information that is coming out of Department of Agriculture and their veterinary epidemiologists, because they do some really, really, really sophisticated risk modelling on peak disease outbreaks and this sort of thing. So, yeah, but also what I'll be looking at is providing some evidence on where Indonesia has been focusing its treatment of foot and mouth cases. So what's really interesting is only at the tiniest percentage of cattle in Indonesia that have been affected actually have been in Bali. Actually, where the 1 million vaccinations that Australia gifted to Indonesia as part of the program to keep the disease off our shores shows that it is actually Bali that's in the top two locations of where the vaccination has been delivered.
So all that and more tomorrow,
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So this is really positive for Australia and for our very, very, very legitimate fears of the severity of this disease. This is really good news.
Certainly is. We are chatting with Dr. Elizabeth Jackson, and you can hear Dr. Elizabeth tomorrow, of course, in Williams, when she'll be speaking with the foot and mouth disease update for Williams and surrounds. 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon there at the Williams Sports Pavilion. It's open to everybody. You just don't need to be a farmer if you're sort of worried in the general public and you want to go along and hear the discussions tomorrow. Not just Dr. Elizabeth there tomorrow, but Tori Kirk from AWI, Dean Hubbard will be there, and Dr. Anna Erickson, who is a field vet with DPIRB. So get along and have a listen to all the wonderful keynote speakers there tomorrow. And of course, Dr. Elizabeth Jackson's also making her way to Kojin up and around other parts around regional WA as well. Dr. Elizabeth Jackson, hey, thanks for your time today and good luck with the information sessions.
Thank you so much indeed, Troy, for the opportunity. And I really hope to see lots of people at the events, because this is an absolutely fantastic initiative of Elders, and I'm really proud to be making a little contribution.
Dr. Elizabeth Jackson, board member with Sheep Producers Australia and also too senior lecturer with the supply chain management there at Curtin University. Just one of the many keynote speakers tomorrow there at Williams. So get there for 3, start by around about 3:30. Not just Dr. Elizabeth Jackson speaking, as I said, but Tori Kirk from AWI, Dr. Anna Erickson, who is the field vet with DPIRB, and Dean Hubbard, who's the Elders State Livestock and Wool Manager. They are the keynote speakers in Williams there tomorrow. So if you're nearby, get along. If you're wanting to know more on it, do get in contact with Georgia today. Georgia will certainly look after you. 0429 371 0800 055 is the telephone number. Yeah, they are important. Williams tomorrow, and as I said, Kojanup on Wednesday at the Kojanup Sporting Complex, also from 3 o'clock. And just very quickly, there's also a foot and mouth disease information session in 2J on Wednesday night as well. So get to that one if you can as well. But if you're wanting to know more about the Williams one tomorrow, they're at the Williams Sports Pavilion. Get in contact with Georgia at Elders today, 0429 371 995. And that's it for today's edition of the Rural Focus podcast. If it's happening around agriculture, aquaculture or horticultural circles, we do our best to bring it to you right here on the Rural Focus podcast. I've been Troy Stockton. I look forward to bringing you another edition of the Rural Focus podcast here on the Listener app again very soon.